All right, have a little quiz for you. So listen here and tell me, can you name the person who wrote this?
Every individual is born equal in rights with his contemporary. It is the living, not the dead, that are to be accommodated. When man ceases to be, his power and his wants cease with him. Governments have no rights, only duties to their citizens.
So who'd you guess? So here's the answer, Thomas Paine. And that excerpt is from Rights of Man, Part the First. When you think of the founders of this nation, is Paine on the list, top of the list, there at all? Well, Ian Ruskin, actor and writer of the one-man show to begin the world again, The Life of Thomas Paine, is hoping to change the way we think about Paine and his place in history and his place in America. Earlier this week, we sat down with Ian Ruskin and with Thomas Patterson. Patterson's the Bradley Professor of Government and Press at the Harvard Kennedy School and is introducing a live performance of the show at the Boston Public Library tonight. And when we sat down, I started by asking Ian Ruskin whether he wrote the play in defense of Thomas Paine.
I think I am defending him to some extent. I probably wouldn't have written it if I didn't admire him. I do think he's extremely misunderstood in really all history, American history, but also European history. And I'm always attracted to men who are misunderstood and misused, if you like. So he's misunderstood in terms of his position as a founding father. He's often misunderstood by political groups within America today. And it's my aim to try and right that balance a little bit. I consider him a very important founding father.
So, Tom, let's pick up on that thread, and I'm going to play a little bit of sound for you here from the show.
So let me begin by saying that the rumors of my addiction to alcohol were a lie. As to me being a filthy little atheist, filthy? No. Untidy? I grant you. Little? Obviously not. An atheist? Never. Not that I am without my faults, as I'm sure you will discover tonight, but I have been much maligned, misused, and misunderstood by our United States.
So that picks up on what Ian was just saying, and I also confess, as I was watching the play, I realized I don't really think about Thomas Paine at all. And that's quite striking.
I think it is quite striking. I mean, Thomas Paine was one of the most important figures in the American Revolution. Washington said that Paine did more than any other person to get people enlisted and willing to fight the British. Paine's problem was that he was always a revolutionary, and that served him very well in the American Revolution and during the French Revolution, but he always kept fighting against the establishment. And when you see the play, you'll understand how that brought him to a somewhat tragic end.
So, Ian, the play feels to me, this one-man show feels like it's playing at two levels, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. One is in the content, right? Who Thomas Paine was in his place in history and the thoughts that he brought forward that affect us yet today. The other was Thomas Paine as a man. And there were two things that struck me about that I want to touch on with you. The first is, in that quote we just played for you, Tom, he says, not an alcoholic. There are a lot of red flags in that play that make me think, are we sure? Are we sure that he wasn't a man who was a victim of his either obsessions or addictions?
Well, I think to some extent he was. He couldn't keep his mouth shut, as Tom just referred to. I mean, he would say the things that everybody else or many people would think but not speak. He was always an outsider. He was, I think, not a particularly easy man to socialize with, to get along with. On the other hand, it's my understanding, and this is always interpretation of history, that he was not an alcoholic. He drank like most men did. He drank his rum and water, or brandy and water, and you couldn't drink water on its own. It would kill you, potentially. So I don't think he was any filthier than anyone else of the times. So I think the early biographies about Paine, which I started by reading the earliest and I went chronologically, the earliest ones were vicious against him. partly, I think, because he disapproved of some of what happened in America in the Revolution. Obviously, his attack on organized religion. He did all these things that enraged a lot of people, but he did them anyway.
So we're having a conversation with Ian Ruskin, the writer and performer of To Begin the World Over Again, The Life of Thomas Paine, and Tom Patterson, the Bradley Professor of Government and the Press at Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. Tom Patterson, I'll turn to you here. We've just been talking parts about Thomas Paine as a man, and I wonder, are all of our founding fathers this complicated and have been washed by history? Or was there something particularly complicated about Thomas Paine?
I think Thomas Paine sort of got washed out of history in a sense, right? Well, if you ask people who the founding fathers were, they would say, well, George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Paine probably wouldn't be on that list. What's interesting is all of those men thought of him in that vein. And if you asked Americans as well, adjusted for the population size, who is the best-selling American author of all time? Tom Paine wouldn't make the list, but he's at the top of the list. I mean, he was extraordinarily influential. Washington, in fact, ordered that some of his words be read aloud to the troops in the field.
And in listening to you, I realize I've been remiss. I should ask, what was the big thing he wrote leading up to the Revolutionary War?
Well, it wasn't his original title, but he accepted it. It was Common Sense.
What was extraordinary about it, and the reason it still remains the bestseller in American history in terms of population, was it said that America should become independent. It said America could win a war against the British Army. It spoke about all kinds of ideas of government and rights. But what it did, he wrote in simple sentences. I've read a lot of Enlightenment writers where the sentences take up a page. Mm. And by the time you get to the end, you've forgotten the beginning. He would write very simple things. These are the times that try men's souls. It tells you exactly what he's trying to say. And that's, I think, what made him dangerous, because he could be understood by the masses, by the working people, by the common man, if you like. And that was dangerous in the minds of many of the movers and shakers of the Revolution.
And he had received no royalties off of Common Sense, at least at the beginning. He might have picked up a few pennies later on. But, he was a common man himself. I mean, unlike some of the other great writers of the Enlightenment, that kind of pushed the idea of that change was coming and change was needed, Thomas Paine had an elementary school education. This was not the Oxford-educated John Locke or the, and so on. You go down the list. This is a common man, and I think he had an uncommon feeling for the common person. I've always found it fascinating. So, at the Boston Public Library, I think they have. I was told they have a copy of John Adams' Common Sense. Now, Adams is one of those people who really didn't trust Paine and really didn't like the message. And in fact, he wrote a rebuttal to Thomas Paine.
So let's hear a little bit more from the play now. This is Ian Ruskin in the filmed version of To Begin the World Over Again, The Life of Thomas Paine.
Well, I continued to write against the Federalists, who were beginning to contemplate government as a profitable monopoly for the support and benefit of the rich at the expense of the general public. And I wrote for deism and for an association of nations, and was advised to stop, and didn't. I did also compare John Adams to a number of animals, and better yet, vegetables.
So, Ian, it's perfect. It's there is this trolling that's happening among and amongst these people that we have for generations referred to as the founding fathers. I could picture this going down on Twitter.
Absolutely. And if Paine was here today, he'd be on Twitter. Well, we don't know quite in the last few days, but I'd say he'd be on all kinds of social media 24 hours a day. One thing I want to say about him giving away the rights.
Yes.
It's a bit like a lot of bands today will put up music for free on various platforms. And they do that to promote their work.
Yeah.
They also know that you don't really make money out of selling copies anymore. You make money out of live concerts. But Payne was doing the same thing, in a sense. He was putting up his work to be free to everyone, because for him, he wanted everyone to hear it and read it. Maybe he realized it could potentially make him, in a way, immortal in time. But he made no money. In fact, as Tom mentioned, later he made some money, and he gave that to Washington to buy mittens for his men.
So, Tom Patterson, there are moments of back and forth that feel so today and yet so radical, and then so today and yet so radical. Is Thomas Paine a thinker for the ages?
I think so. I mean, what's interesting about Paine, if you read Paine, he's making an arguments that, and this is a century before Karl Marx, he's making arguments about labor.
Yeah.
And capital, and arguing that we don't respect labor enough, and that we ought to organize more of society around labor. And then you can kind of jump ahead to the contemporary period. And many of the arguments you're hearing today about around income inequality and the like, there all echoes all over Paine's writings about income inequality and the problems of income inequality. In fact, he argued that there ought to be something like a guaranteed annual income for every family so that nobody lived in dire poverty. So I think he is a man for the ages, and it's written, you know, almost every passage kind of takes you back and forth in history.
We're speaking with Thomas Patterson of Harvard University and Ian Ruskin, the writer and performer of To Begin the World Over Again, The Life of Thomas Paine. I will come back to you, Ian, with a piece of sound that is from the very beginning of the show.
And if you fear a history lesson tonight, what is history for but to remind us of our better dreams? And what is life for but to search for the truth?
That searching for the truth is interesting as one listening to those words, listening to his words throughout the play, and looking at or watching your project as the writer and actor bringing us Thomas Paine. Because there is this moment that we're in where we are reconsidering all the history we've told ourselves about everything from slavery and racism and gender and freedom and who the Constitution was for. And you, as you write this history of Thomas Paine, want us to understand him as someone who had greater clarity of thinking on questions of race, equality, slavery, equal access to the vote, ownership of the means of production, as Tom Patterson was just telling us. I want to believe you, and I also want to question if that is a patina he fully deserves. And I just don't know.
Well, in my mind, he's unique. There isn't anyone else like him in the American Revolution who wrote the way he did. Remember, he also, and this is in the play, he wrote in the French Revolution. He was potentially nearly guillotined. He was nearly hung by the British. He then wrote Age of Reason, which was an extraordinary attack on organized religion, but also the Bible. So he took on...
But not an attack on faith.
Not an attack on your right to faith.
Yeah.
He always said, you have the same right to your beliefs as I. He was a deist. Deists believe in a power that created, but they believe that then it's up to the human race to take care of everything. So, but deists believed that if you, whatever your religion was, that was fine, but I had the right to mine. So that was quite a radical concept in and of itself.
So Ian Ruskin, I'll turn back to you from my last question, and there's really two pieces to it, which is as you play this play in Boston, right?
Yes.
Which I would think would be very much like doing it in Philadelphia, for example. What do you want us here to carry away with us about Thomas Paine? And do you feel a particular responsibility in a city like ours, and how you bring that lesson forward?
Well, apart from the fact that John Adams is the butt of my best jokes, leaving that aside, and you heard one of them earlier,
yep.
That jokes may be overstating.
Well, I think that's right.
I do think, I mean, I've done this play in Philadelphia more than once. I've done it once before in Boston. Boston, like Philadelphia, those were two of the cradles of the Revolution. And I want particularly those kinds of places and cities to know more about Paine, because Paine had such an impact on the Revolution. And as Thomas said, and as I've said, he's not recognized for that. And I think it's really important.